I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening and invite you to please get your Bibles out now and turn with me in them back to Psalm 119 this evening, but this time to verses 9 through 16. And tonight we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. And after having considered something of the introduction to the psalm and how the beginning of Psalm 119 parallels the beginning of the entire Psalter. In other words, it's very parallel to Psalm 1. We will now consider this evening the first major section of the psalm beyond the introduction. And interestingly, it seems to be dedicated to a particular audience. And so let's give our careful hearing again this evening to the reading of God's holy and infallible word tonight, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That is the word of God. I think that we can see as we begin and as you hear particularly the first question in verse 9 of this psalm, that this is a section that is particularly for young people. And maybe even a subset of young people, maybe particularly for young men. Although it's addressed that way, I think it does have application to all of us tonight, but this is a section particularly aimed at and addressed to young people. And it is full of very helpful and very practical advice that, if heeded, will lead to that happy and that blessed life that is promised in the opening words of this psalm. And I think that as we begin this evening, we should remember briefly what we considered last Lord's Day in regard to the beginning of this psalm. And I want us to remember that we noted that the psalm, if you have that open in front of you and you can look back at verses 1 through 8, and particularly the first couple verses of the entire psalm, I think it's very important that we remember that the psalm, this whole huge psalm, 176 verses, it begins with the assumption that you want to be happy. And then it claims to know how you can be happy. And that is an extremely important observation, especially for you young people tonight. You need to let that assumption and that claim sink deep into your heart and your soul this evening. Again, that assumption is you want to be happy. And this psalm is claiming to know how you can be. The reason why I want to underscore that as we begin here is because maybe you come in here tonight with the idea that at this point in your life, you think that Christianity is all about what you can't do. It's just a huge list of don't do this. It seems to you that virtually everything in your life that you are attracted to, or everything in your life that feels good, as far as Christianity is concerned, that's just off limits for you. Everything you want is a taboo. You're not allowed to do it. And so at this point in your life, you might be wondering if you really want, to be a Christian at all. Because Christianity seems like a total bummer. It just seems like all the time, it's just all the things that you can't do. God seems like, He just seems like this massive killjoy up in heaven, always keeping us from having fun, always trying to keep us from actually being happy. But that notion, that idea about the Christian faith, that idea about God couldn't be further from the truth. And therefore, I'm pleading with you tonight to really hear the Word of God and to really seek to believe it and to obey it. The reason why is because God made you. He is your Creator. And your Creator knows you. He knows how you tick. He ultimately knows what will make you happy. Now, you might think that at this point in your life, you absolutely know better than God. You know what will make you happy. And you don't think He knows what will make you happy. You think He's got it all wrong. I don't know how to soften it at all, but if you think that, frankly, that's a very immature thought. And it's a very typical thought that young people tend to have. Let me illustrate it by something kind of an absurd illustration. And that is just think for a minute about candy, let's say. Think about things that you like and that at least taste good at the first eating of them. Now, if you were to just gorge yourself on, let's say you had like 12 bundles of cotton candy. And it's awesome at the beginning. I mean, you're just gorging yourself on this sweet, sticky stuff. But then all of a sudden you start getting sick on it. Next thing you know, you're at the hospital getting your stomach pumped or something. And you're crying because you're totally miserable with it. Two things I want you to think about in relation to that is, number one, if anyone tells you off the bat that sin is gross and it doesn't taste good, they're not telling you the truth. You wouldn't be attracted to it if it didn't taste good. You would run from it if it was repulsive and gross. But what you tend to not believe and what the Scriptures call you to believe is that it will ultimately make you absolutely sick. And it will ruin your life. Again, it's like that candy. It tastes good at first, but if you keep eating it, ultimately it's going to ruin you. God knows that you like to feel good and that you want to be happy. And if you are one of His children, He wants you to be blessed and He does want you to be happy. And it's because He wants those things for you. That's one major reason that He forbids certain things from you. And that He gives you rules and He gives you warnings and He gives you laws and He gives you commands. In other words, He doesn't put those rules upon you because He is trying to ruin your life. But He puts those rules upon you because He actually loves you. And He wants you to have the most blessed and the most happy life. And therefore, I am calling you, and particularly I'm calling you young people this evening, to pay attention just for a few moments tonight. If you have a pen, I'd like you to have that out so you can fill in the blanks as we move through this psalm together this evening. But I want you to pay attention just for a few moments tonight as we look through these 8 verses together. And then, by God's help and by God's grace, I want us as a whole congregation to endeavor to put into practice what you learn here tonight. So the main message of the psalm, and this is still at that introduction if you're filling in the blank there. First of all, this is a section for young people. And the main message of this whole psalm, 119, and we talked about this last week, is happiness is found in the way of holiness and purity. That's the ultimate message of Psalm 119. Happiness is found in the way of holiness and purity. And with that reminder, I want us to first consider here tonight how young people can keep their way pure. There are, and I have them sort of listed here. You're going to have to fill them in as we go along. But there are 9 actions that are given in these 8 verses which young people are called to engage in. And I want us to look at those, and I want us to try to understand what we're being called to do, as well as consider just a few words of practical advice as to how to go about engaging in each of these actions. And the first one, and frankly, if you want to look ahead for a minute, you can just go through these verses and probably fill in those blanks, but stick with me, if you will. The first one is very simply, you are to guard your way according to the Word of God. Guard your way according to the Word of God. You're called to be active in guarding your way according to the Scriptures. And obviously, there's an assumption here. If you're going to do that, then you have to know what the Word of God says. You can't guard your way according to the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God. And as you begin to understand the Word of God, and as you begin to learn more about it, you need to actually not just be a hearer, you need to be a doer. You need to put those things into practice. And so, for instance, the Word of God calls us to a lot of things. It calls us to stay away from a lot of things. It calls us to do a lot of things. It gives us tons of warnings throughout it. Let me just give you one of many that could be cited. The Word of God calls you to be careful of and careful about falling into laziness and boredom in your life. And so, just the flip side of that is then therefore you would need to guard against those kinds of things. You need to guard against laziness and boredom in your life by being active and busy, both in your life and in faith. Now, this is going to hopefully get a little better as we move on here. But a practical way to guard your way according to the Word of God and to guard against these things like laziness and boredom is to commit to a Bible reading schedule and endeavor to keep at it every day. This way, if you have this commitment, I'm going to try to read the Word every day, and I'm on a schedule, I'm actually working through something. This way, you will always have something to do, and before long, it will become this habitual part of your day that you have to make time for. Indeed, this one commitment, if you would make this one commitment, I'm going to get on a schedule, I'm going to read the Word of God every day. This one commitment will be helpful in almost everything else that we're going to look at here this evening. All the other things that we're called to in this section. In fact, let's move to the second one. The second thing that you're called to do here is to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. So you are called to be actively seeking the Lord Himself. You seek Him. How do you seek the Lord? Well, you seek Him by cultivating that relationship that you have with Him. In other words, if you want to get to know somebody better, I mean, think about it. It's basic things. If you want to get to know somebody better than you know them right now, then you have to actually talk to them. You actually have to find out about that person that you're trying to get to know. And that is what God is calling you to hear. And what an amazing invitation that is. In other words, to know the Creator of the world. The Creator of the universe says, I want you to know me. I want you to come and learn more about me. Well, obviously, then you need to spend time. You've got to spend time praying and reading the Word. And so if you've started that practice that we just talked about on the first one in an attempt to guard your way, then you're already doing this. to some degree. This is already going on. But let me warn you here, and let me say something about Bible reading. Read the Word, though, looking to understand God more. Read with the intention that I want to know the one who wrote this, that's revealing himself herein. In other words, at this point, you're not just trying to get through chapters. You're not just trying to marshal more information, but you're trying to get to know God more. That's your intent of reading the Word. And so pray as you begin to read. Pray that God, please reveal yourself to me as I read your Word. In fact, the speed of your reading isn't the issue at all. It's the quality of your reading. And this brings us to the third thing I want us to consider, and that is to store up the Word in your heart. Look at verse 11. I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You could put right there with it, this is really another way of saying, memorize the Word of God. Try to memorize it. You need to know the Word. Again, we can walk through these. You need to know the Word before you can guard your way by it. And therefore, Bible memory is one of the most important activities that you can engage in. And I know Bible memory is a very difficult thing. And I told you I was going to give you some practical thoughts on maybe ways you could go about doing some of the things that we see reflected here in this section of Psalm 119. So here's a weird but helpful way to learn Scripture. It's not original with me, but a friend in seminary told me that this is the way he goes about memorizing Scripture, and I think it can be helpful. It's just a way. Maybe you have your own way of memorizing Scripture and you don't need this, but this is a helpful way. Get a Ziploc baggie, okay, and write out the passage that you're trying to memorize. Seal that up. You got it. It's now waterproof, and take it in the shower with you. I told you it was kind of weird, but and once it is a little wet, you can stick it to the wall of the shower. And now there it is, your hands free. You can memorize Scripture while you're in the shower. Your family already hears you singing in there. They're not going to mind hearing you reciting Scripture while you're in the shower. Another thing on this is, and you young people, if you're hearing me, go ask your parents, hey, I want a Ziploc baggie. And I'm guessing your parents will give you one. If they don't, you come talk to me, and I will make your parents give you a Ziploc baggie. But, and then here's another thing. Not just getting the Ziploc baggie from them, but ask them. If you can't think of passages like you think, I don't know, the Bible's huge, I don't know which verses I should concentrate on, ask your parents to give you one passage a week. That would be a good passage to memorize. This will engage your folks in thinking and actually having to really think through what would be good passages for you to memorize. Things that would be helpful for you. This will give you guys something to talk about between the two of you. So doing this, memorizing the Scriptures will also be helpful really for the next thing I want us to consider tonight, and it's actually as we flow through the psalm together. Doing this will help you, number four, declare God's word with your mouth. Look at verse 13. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. I want to encourage you to do what we are hearing is being done by the psalmist in verse 13 here. And that is, I'm encouraging you to actually speak the word of God out loud. I think every one of us needs to hear his word coming out of our own mouths. You need to hear yourself recite his laws. You need to hear yourself articulate his promises. You need to hear yourself say things that are true about you that He's revealed in the Word. You need to actually articulate and say things that are true about God that are vitally important to your faith. And so say the verses out loud as you're memorizing them in the shower, like we just said. There's a time when you're actually hearing yourself saying the Word of God together. At times you should read the Word of God out loud. You should hear it come into your own ears audibly. If you are of driving age, if you're a young person that can drive at this point, speak the Word out loud while you're driving. Practice your memorization. Go through what you know to be true about His Word. You can ask to read the Word in family worship. As you become more familiar with the Word, as you're memorizing it, now you're going to have it on the tip of your tongue. You're able to bring it up in conversation with other people. You're actually able to say something about the Scriptures because you've memorized it. You're now growing in your understanding and your familiarity with the Word of God. And so in times of evangelism, you want to tell someone about how great Jesus is and what a perfect Savior He is. Well, you have passages that you could actually say to them now. But lest this speaking it out loud or memorizing it, lest this ever become just a formal exercise of memory work or a mechanical action, the fifth thing that we're called to do, and it's interesting, we're called to do this twice in this psalm. The fifth thing is to delight in God's Word. Look at verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. In verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We need to remember that the Bible, and this, hear it right, the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word. In other words, it's not a normal book, but it's one that is all about Him. It's about this world. It's about you, who you really are. It's about how God desires us to live in His world. It's about how God desires us to enjoy Him and to glorify Him forever. As time goes on, we should begin to actually delight in the Word. And when I say that, I want you to know that I realize and I empathize with you that sometimes the Bible is hard to read. Sometimes we're not excited about grabbing hold of it and reading it. But if we can get our minds and our hearts, if we can get it into our minds and our hearts that we are reading the very words of God, if that really becomes the posture with which we come to the Scriptures, there can become an excitement to reading it. Think about if someone were to just give you, I don't know how many of you young people are familiar with newspapers anymore. They're kind of going by the waist. I never thought I would ever say that. But if you've ever seen a newspaper, I mean, I just remember when I was young seeing all these words just flooded with like, whoa, I can't even make them out. There's just too much on that page. But what if someone said, here, I want you to read this, just a practice reading. And you're thinking, that is so boring. I don't want to do that. I don't want to wade through all this, whatever looks like gibberish to me, to get through it. But then imagine if someone told you that someone who loved you or someone who you loved had actually gone through that whole page and put in their messages specifically for you, things that were to be communicated to you throughout that big page, your whole posture would change. Now it would become exciting. I want to know what He says about me, or I want to know about Him, what He's told me about Himself in there. I think that if this could be the case with the Bible as well. As I mentioned above, you should read the Word trying to get to know and to understand God more, and you can also read it looking for things that it says are true about you and looking for things that God has done for you, looking for messages about how He has fought for you, He has loved you, He has died for you. Coming to the Bible and coming to our Bible reading with a different mindset and a different understanding can help you come to the light in it and not view it as a drudgery when you read it. In fact, as you find things in it that are noteworthy and important to you in your life, you can then fulfill the next action, which is to meditate. To meditate on God's word. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your precepts. Meditation is basically, if you've heard of that before, we're not emptying our minds. Biblical meditation is not just clear your mind and sit there and like think about your belly button or something, whatever Eastern religion tends to do. But biblical meditation is to think deeply about something, to think deeply about the word. Too often we might have this schedule. This is one of the dangers with saying, I think you should get a Bible reading schedule and you should commit to it every day. One of the dangers is too often we might have that schedule and we might get our chapters out of the way in our daily reading. But then we get up and we immediately forget what we've just read. It's just gone out of our minds. Well, verse 15 tells us about meditation upon it. That is thinking it over and pondering what you've read. And I would encourage you that if you're engaging in some of the actions that we've noted already this evening, then you are not far from this. For instance, if you are memorizing it, then you should actually be thinking about it. It's not just a nursery rhyme. You're not just memorizing it to get the prize. But you're being called here and in your memorization to think about what you're actually memorizing. Ask some questions about the passage, or ask some questions about a verse, or ask a question of a certain word in the text. As you're reading the Bible and you come across, let's say, a promise, ask yourself, think in your own mind, wow, if I really believe that promise, what would I do differently in my life? That's something to think about. If I actually believed that, how would that actually change and affect my life? If I really believed this warning in God's word, what would I do differently? What's God's love like? I should think about that. Do I really understand grace? These are questions you can think about. These are ways to meditate on the word. Well, doing this will lead then to the next point, which is kind of a parallel to meditation. But 7 is fix your eyes upon God's word. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes upon your word. If you're thinking about things that you've read, if you're meditating on them, if you're memorizing them, then you're going to be increasingly viewing the world. You're going to be increasingly viewing your own life. You're going to be increasingly viewing your own sin through the lens, or through the glasses, we might say, of the Word of God. You'll have it come to mind when the Word of God will pop up in your mind when temptation comes to you, and then you'll be able to recall it. Turning away from those things that you know you shouldn't be looking at or you shouldn't be doing, the Word of God will begin to change the way you look at things as you fix your eyes upon it. Here again, I can't urge you strongly enough to engage in memorization and knowing the Word of God, because we have to realize we're in a battle. And if you have no ammo to shoot back at the devil when he comes and tempts you, then you are a sitting duck to his attacks. The second hour of the high school class, we were talking about what did Jesus do as a man when he was tempted by the devil. Every time he was tempted, he brought up the Word of God. That's your major ammo against the attacks of the enemy. You've got to know what the Scriptures say are true. What is true about you in Jesus Christ so that you can tell that back to the devil. Say, I don't have to do this because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to sin now in Him. You've got to know these things. And so you need to fix your eyes upon the Word of God. Which brings us next to a final thing here as far as what we can see clearly in the passage. Number 8 is don't forget the Word of God. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time here, but obviously if you are seeking to memorize the Word of God, then you won't be forgetting it. But I think that there's a little more behind this idea of not forgetting it, and that is that it's saying that I'm not going to neglect your Word in my life. I'm not going to just put your Word, I'm not going to forget it and just put it behind me. And I'm going to try to go about life and activities without your Word bearing into my conscience and affecting my thoughts and my words and my deeds. I think that's what's behind not forgetting it, not neglecting it. You need to develop the habit. We all need to develop the habit. But young people, you've got to develop that habit of asking yourself and talking to yourself about what the Word says about this situation or this activity. I'm not saying that's going to be a fun thing to do. That's going to be a very convicting thing because very often you will want to do something that you know that the Scriptures say you shouldn't do. Your non-Christian friends, the world, the devil, your own sinful heart will want you to forget. They will want you to neglect the Word of God. But God is calling you to remember His Word. And this brings us finally to the last point, which is pray. Pray for understanding and faithfulness. Maybe you were looking for a clear passage that calls for prayer here in these 8 verses. Well, there really isn't one, but it is alluded to there and it's implied in verses 10 and 12. Look at those. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And this is as important as anything else that we've considered so far. And that is to pray for understanding and to pray for faithfulness. Because this is a long list. And maybe you have tried to read the Word. But it's really hard for you to understand. And it's very easy for you to forget once you've read it. And it's very easy, even though you've heard the Word read much of your life, you still find yourself neglecting it and falling into sin. Well, you can't. You can't do these things on your own and in your own power. And therefore, peppered throughout here, we see the psalmist praying for understanding. We see him praying for that faithfulness that he won't wander away from the Word. Right now, you don't delight in the Word of God. It's not exciting for you. Pray. Pray. Ask God, Lord, enable me. Make me love your Word. I don't find that in me right now. But make that change in my heart that I would delight in your Word. I don't care enough about your Word right now to memorize it. God, change my priorities. Make me love your Word so much that I want to memorize it, that I actually believe it's that vital to my life, that I'm going to put in that time and endeavor to memorize passages that you can bring back to my mind in times of trouble or in temptation. But let me urge you here, you have to pray like you mean it. In other words, you have to mean it if you're going to pray that. No formal, half-hearted prayers like you could really care less, like you really don't believe that these things really matter. The psalmist is crying out with fervent cries to the Lord to increase his love for the Lord, to give him a stronger desire for the Word of God. And you've got to pray for that, and you've got to want that, and you've got to wrestle with the Lord for it. So these are the marching orders of your life, young people. These are the patterns that you must seek to develop and cultivate if you want to be holy and you want to be happy. These are the ways that you can stay in the path of faithfulness to the Lord. Guarding and seeking and memorizing and speaking and delighting in and meditating upon and fixing your eyes upon and not forgetting and praying. But more important, and I want us to take serious briefly a final note tonight, and especially for you young people, more important than what you do is what Christ is doing for you. And so, having considered how young people can keep their way pure, let's consider very briefly, as we're concluding tonight, how Christ keeps young people's way pure. How does Christ, what's He doing for you? Because that's a whole lot more trustworthy. That's a whole lot stronger matter than your ups and downs as you desire to do these things. Well, Jesus, I think a first thing we have to get clear in our minds is that Jesus is not for old people who have no other things to do in their life. They're not interested in anything else, so they're into Jesus. Jesus came to bring salvation to young people. His desire is for young people to delight in Him. His desire is for young people to find Him sufficient and attractive and something that they desire more than the whole world. He wants young people to become convinced of that. He wants you to be able to see through the deception of the world. And to realize that the pleasures that this world keeps putting out in front of you, and all of the ads and all of the bombardment from the world saying to you, this is what's beautiful, this is what's worth giving your life to. Jesus wants you to know and is trying to convince you that all of that is absolutely temporary and it is fleeting and it will ultimately make you miserable. And it will ruin your life. God will never let you down. And as soon as we learn what is true and what is worthy and what is truly beautiful, then we will come to delight in Him more and more. In fact, God is so after young people that He sent His own Son so that you can find all of this joy and blessing in your life. Jesus has taken on your very flesh. He's become a human. He's lived the life of obedience that you should have lived. He died the terrible death that you actually deserve because of your sin, and He's risen from the dead so that you will rise again, and that you can live forever. And He's currently ruling over all things, and He is praying for you so that you will actually come into that inheritance, that you will actually come to that everlasting enjoyment that is found in the presence of God forever. And so Christ keeps young people's way pure by constantly loving you and by constantly serving you. He cares about you. You are not unimportant in God's economy, in God's way of thinking, in God's interests in the world. You are absolutely vitally important to you. And so he continues constantly loving you and serving you. He gives you parents to help guide you on the way. He puts godly friends in your life that check you at times, that love you enough to tell you that we shouldn't be doing that. That we need to be doing this. He puts you in a church so that he can constantly tell you about himself, and that you can see people living that life, glorifying God and enjoying him. Even more important than those things, he gives you his word. It's all about how much he loves you and what he's like. He gives you the sacraments. He puts his name on you in baptism. He says, you're mine. He gives you a meal to help nourish you and strengthen you in the Christian walk. And he gives you his Holy Spirit, who's actually within you, working change so that you will come to love him. Come to love his word. Come to rejoice in him, because you don't have that naturally within you. And therefore, the most important thing that you can do in all that we have considered is ultimately, as a young person, is to absolutely give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. To fall upon him. To trust him with everything. And to rely upon him, and I want you to hear this right, to rely upon him to enable you to do these things that we've talked about. In other words, you're not to just lay on the floor and expect him to do the reading for you, or to do the memorizing for you, or to pray to him for you. You're to believe that his will, by his Spirit, is that he will empower you to love those things and do those, not to earn his favor, but simply because that's what you do in a relationship when you love the other person. You desire those things. You want to spend time with him. You want to know all about him. You want to be able to talk to other people about him because you love him. You think he is that great. You want to guard your way because you love him. You want to seek him. You want to know his word, speak, delight in, meditate upon, fix your eyes upon, not neglect, and pray. As we, for real this time, conclude tonight, I want to remind you of something from last week, and that is that Psalm 119, I will seek to try to convince you of this as we move through this psalm together, but Psalm 119 is really all about Christ. And it is all about our seeking him, the incarnate Word of God. I had mentioned an exercise that I suggested that you can do, and I want to do that exercise with these few verses that are before us as we close this evening. I can't keep that a secret because I put it in your outline tonight, and maybe you've already looked at that. And that exercise that I encouraged last week is to read Jesus into all the times that the Word of God is referenced. It's referenced, as we mentioned last week, with at least 8 different words or synonyms. And I think it's a beautiful exercise to read Jesus into all the times that the Word is referenced. And you young people, I want you to make this a practice. I'd love you to get more and more familiar with Psalm 119 and recognize this is where my security is. This is actually how I will keep my way pure. This is how a young man, this is how a young woman, frankly, this is how an old man and an old woman It's how everybody can keep their way pure. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to the Lordship, or in accord with, I should say, by guarding it in accord with the Lordship of Jesus Christ. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander away from your Son and his righteousness. I have set him apart in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me so that I might learn Christ more. With my lips, I will declare the truth as it is in Jesus. In him I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your Son and fix my eyes upon him. I will delight in him. I will not forget him. But I'll live by faith in my Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word again tonight and for your Spirit. And Lord, please use your word to change our lives and use it to draw us more fervently to Christ, who in is our salvation. And Father, I pray for particularly the young people in our congregation that you would grant them a sobriety and a seriousness young in life, that they might know that there is a Savior for sinners, and they would lay hold of Him and love Him from these early days of their life. May they have a testimony to look back over the years and say, I've never known a time when I didn't know Christ as my Savior. And may they also be able to look back with not much regret, knowing that walking in His ways will bring blessing and joy in their life. Father, please spare them from much harm and the scars of sin, and yet pour out your mercy and grace. May they know that the blood of Christ can cleanse from all sin and makes all things new. So, Lord, please draw us afresh to Christ. May we live this week in a very attentive knowledge of Him and what He has done for us. Draw us near to Him. May we walk with Him throughout our coming week. We pray these things in His name. Amen.